Luke was sorry to make her relive that, but she clearly wanted to exchange blows, and Luke was not unarmed in this match. She regained her composure a moment later.
It's not about that, either. You're as guilty of not detecting Jason Solo's turn to evil as others were of not checking the excesses of Imperial officers. But that's not why you're being tried. It's just the argument that will allow us to convict you.
Why am I being tried, then? Give me the next layer of truth, or the next layer below that.
It has to do with fairness and responsibility and the rule of law.
Things the Jedi have always supported.
Things the Jedi have always subverted, at least under your leadership.
Luke couldn't keep his astonishment from his face or voice.
That's ridiculous. Let me give you a hypothetical example. A Coruscant bar in seedy sublevels. Two patrons decide they don't like the looks of a third. They assault him. A Jedi intervenes. Out come blaster pistols and a lightsaber. Whoosh, whoosh. Severed arms litter the barroom floor. Law enforcement officers are called. The Jedi gives them a terse statement and then flits off to his next adventure.
Luke nodded. That's a simplistic and overly colorful way of putting it, but yes, it happens. It had, in fact, happened almost exactly that way to him, with Luke in the role of the patron about to be assaulted, back before he was a Jedi himself, many years before.
Do you not see anything wrong with the way the situation was resolved?
Not really.
First, there's the maiming of the suspects. Would it have been possible for the Jedi to have defeated them without cutting off their arms?
Luke nodded. Possibly, probably. But once the blasters came out of their holsters, the situation became a lot more dangerous for everybody, patrons and Jedi included.
Could the Jedi have disarmed them with some use of the Force?
That does happen, but we know the Jedi in your example made the correct choice.
How so?
He was not just reacting to what he saw with his eyes and knew from his experience. He was in tune with the Force. The Force alerted him to the true level of danger, and he responded appropriately.
Sad that the Force can never be sworn in to testify about the suggestions it offers to the Jedi.
True.
Or to the Sith. The Force talks to the Sith, too, doesn't it?
Luke blinked. The dark side of the Force, yes.
You didn't say your Jedi was only listening to the bright side.
Light side.
Yes, thank you. You just said the Force. But let's stipulate that the good Force is the only one our hypothetical Jedi listens to. It still suggests maiming an awful lot of the time.
Hardly a life sentence of disfigurement and handicap. Modern prosthetics are indistinguishable from flesh and bone. He held up his own prosthetic hand, waggling his fingers at her as evidence.
Though they have to be paid for by someone, often the state when the amputee is of the lower classes, and then maintained at a cost in credits and technical skill in excess of the upkeep of an ordinary flesh and blood arm.
Granted. Luke suppressed an impatient sigh. Is that what the suit is about, then? A perception that arms are being cut off at a higher rate than the government recommends?
No. It's about the Jedi giving a cursory statement to law enforcement and then leaving, or dashing off without giving one at all, or just refusing to answer one crucial question the investigating officer asks, and in every case, getting away with it.
I still don't understand, then.
I'll walk you through it. The officers show up and ask questions. The Jedi gives a 50-word statement. The officers say, thanks, now we need to go back to the neighborhood station for a full statement. The Jedi says, sorry, I have places to be, and he's gone. Did the Jedi respond with appropriate force? You think so, but at the government level, we never learn, because a short while later, he's on Kaminor, dealing with an organized crime family, then in the Hapes cluster.
Usually, the Jedi does make a full statement, does cooperate to whatever degree the local authorities require.
Usually, yes. I have a report here of a Jedi Knight named Seth Helen, who assaulted law officers just a few weeks ago. Whatever he needed to rush off to do, he never came back to offer full cooperation to the authorities, did he?
Luke suppressed the urge to fidget. He found himself wishing that Nawara Venn were here, though Dalla was herself not being backed up by an advocate. I can see how incomplete reports and investigations would be frustrating to the government, but you have to trust that we made the right choice at the right time. It's what we're trained to do. The smile she turned on him was as frosty as anything Luke had seen in the snowy outback of Hoth.
I do, do I? We'll get back to that. Grandmaster, the hypothetical incident I described shows at a very minor, very frequent level that the Jedi are above the law.
Not true. Anyone in the bar situation you described could have intervened with lethal force to save the victim from his beating.
And then would have been obliged to make a full report and stay in contact until the investigation was resolved. The Jedi don't respect that law, or any law they find inconvenient. And the choice to sever the arms comes dangerously close to a judicial sentence being enacted at the time of the intervention. Judge, jury, executioner, Jedi.
I'm sorry you have that impression, Luke frowned. I'd come here hoping that I could persuade you to drop the case. But now I'm wondering whether I should go through the whole trial just to demonstrate to the public that we do cooperate with the authorities, that we don't consider ourselves above the law. Dalla nodded, her expression agreeable.
Let's talk about Kip Duren.
Master Duren is a fine, responsible Jedi.
I'm not talking about the Jedi he is now. I'm talking about the teenager who destroyed most of the life in the Kerida system all those years ago.